advisory committee, chairman of this advisory committee on veterans affairs, and co-chair, Victoria.
Hi, I'm actually the vice chair. I'm Victoria Pridemore. I am on full-time job. I'm associate director for the Office of Military and Veteran Student Services at George Washington University. And I still serve in the Virginia Army National Guard. And then I'm here.
All right. So at this point, let's say this Pledge of Allegiance and we'll get started.
Why don't we pledge allegiance to the flag and make our soldiers welcome back to Mexico?
Yeah, maybe we could ask right after this, Mike. We'll see. All right. All right. Good. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just for a point of order, everybody, there is an agenda. It's up here if you do not have a copy. We're going to go through the agenda. Please be respectful of that. There is an area for public comments, two minutes max per person for the public comments at the end. But please be respectful of the agenda, and Harry and I will move this along as fast as possible so we can leave enough time for everyone who wants to make a comment to make a comment.
Thank you. So at this point, Sydney, Mr. Locks, if you would do the roll call for the board.
This is a roll call for the advisory board members for the City of the District of Columbia. Harry Ringo, Chair.
Present.
Victoria Pridemore, Vice Chair.
Present.
Herman Preston, ex officio. Claudia Treadwell. Cecil Bird. Donald Brooks. Prince Brooks.
Present.
Kimberly Davis.
Present.
Steve Dazell.
Here.
Luke Dyer. Saif Khan.
He's on his way up.
On his way.
Steph.
Jamal Lampkin.
Present.
Donald Brooks.
Here.
Demetrius Mack.
Here.
Jock Patterson.
Here.
Eric Perez. Mr. Ernest Postel.
Here.
Joe Wynn.
All right, just a quick question, if I could, Sydney. How many were present, and out of how many total, sir?
Majority plus one. Okay.
That's 12 out of 18 present, 6 absent.
Thank you, sir. So under our bylaws, should we ever need a quorum, and we will at certain points, what page is that?
It's under
we have a majority plus one is required. So at this point, you know, that would be 9-10, I think, if I'm doing the math right. So should we have needed a quorum for anything, we would have a present amount. In fact, we'd have gravy by two. So, and Tammy, thanks. Let's see. So we have the minutes. Does anybody need the minutes that don't have a copy? This is a summary of the minutes. We also have more detailed minutes that are online. Also want to notify people at this point that we are recording this. You know, this is what we do, you know, as far as this being an open meeting, a public meeting. And so all of our meetings for the advisory committee are public and recorded. Any questions about meeting minutes?
Are there extra copies up there?
We have some, yes. If anybody needs one, raise your hand.
I have a question about the minutes. I think it's crucially important to put the veterans law firm on here. Crucially important. If you're going to come to this meeting, use the word law. Crucially and critically important. And also, most importantly,
Mr. Lee, we're talking about the minutes specifically.
Well, still, once again, use that word law.
Okay, we noted it, Mr. Lee. Thank you.
And then veterans in the hospital. May God and Jesus be with them. And sit your you ain't running for nothing. Scared of the Attorney General.
Oh, so we have some these are special guests. All right, so what we tend... actually, we have a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Or do we have a motion? I'm sorry, I'm calling for a motion.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as posted.
Seconded.
All right, it's been approved and properly seconded to, by ayes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, we have one opposed, so I think this passes.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's right. Okay, so at this point, special guests.
Yes.
So we tend to have our special guests at the beginning of the meetings. Mm-hmm. And at this point, how many guests do we have?
Three, four.
Great. And I guess, Tammy, if you want to.
Sure. Yeah. So the purpose of this, this is a brand new board, and we're trying to introduce to them how the structure is within the district government. So the district government is more of an interagency model when dealing with veterans issues. So not one sole office deals with all the veterans issues, right? Because we're not big enough, we're a four-man team. So I invited different offices, including the federal government, to come in and just talk about what they do and how they support veterans. So first would be Felicia Kauser.
The agenda said closed session for the special guest.
Okay, so the closed session, we're using the closed session where no questions can be asked outside of the board members.
But it's open to the public.
It's for them to hear, yes. But the questions will only be for the board members because it's a learning process, right?
Sure.
So we're trying to get through this really quickly.
And if I might, too, just to give an overview before we get started, if each of the guests, if you wouldn't mind just quickly saying your name and introducing, you know, just saying what agency you're from, and then we'll go one after the other after that, just to give the context before the detail.
Felicia Kauser, DC Office on Aging.
Latoya Lane, D.C. Department of Corrections, Deputy Warden for Programs and Case Management.
Lucinda Babers, Director, D.C. Department of Motor Vehicles.
And you are, ma'am?
Regina Gilmore, D.C. Department of Corrections, Reentry Coordinator.
Joy White, Department of Veteran Affairs, the Veterans Experience Office specifically as the District Deputy Director for the North Atlantic, which includes D.C.
Chris Lucci, same from the Veterans Experience Office, Relationship Manager here in D.C.
All right, thank you. Are there any other special guests?
Dallas Williams, Department of Human Services, Deputy Administrator for Homeless Services.
Thank you, sir. So I think we have folks who are experts on aging. Mm-hmm. We have a mix of federal government and D.C. government. Aging, economic issues, corrections and reentry. We have the Department of Motor Vehicles, homeless issues. And did I miss anything that one of our seven guests cover? All right, so we're scheduled to go until 8 o'clock, and we want to be on time. And so it's 6:48, we're 10 minutes late getting started. So I think probably about five, if we had 5 minutes for each person, that's gonna take us 35 minutes. I think we might go a little bit under five, just real quick.
Yeah, and
if you're okay, maybe the two folks who are reentry and corrections, you might wanna go around the same time, or you know, one after the other, because I'm sure there may be some overlap issues. But maybe if, I think it's Felicia, if you wanted to start, ma'am.
Sure.
Ms. Counselor.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Evening.
Again, my name is Felicia Kauser. I'm with the D.C. Office on Aging. We are located at 500 K Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. We're in an elementary school building that was renovated. And so we share our building with the seniors. We have a senior wellness center there, which all veterans 60 and over are welcome to come to. And just briefly to let you know, hopefully sometime you can come over and I'll be happy, more than happy to give you a tour of the senior wellness center. We have arts, exercise, trips, social gatherings, lunch. There's a gym facility that is available and free for seniors 60 and over, veterans 60 and over. So please feel free to call us and come out and visit. Our main number here is 202-724-5626. I'm going to leave some of these so that you can tap them to pick them up. I also have brought a long-term care guide. This is called Many Options Decide Your Future. It has a lot of resources in here that pertains to the District of Columbia. And the DC Office on Aging is committed to have the people age in place, age in the community, rather than in the future. So if you have questions about getting in-home services to support their living or anything like that, please feel free to give us a call.
Thank you, Felicia. Should we open up for questions as each person?
No,
yes. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Kauser?
Board members have questions.
Yeah, board members, I'm sorry, for board members.
I have one. About how many veterans are you serving?
Thank you. That was my question.
I don't have that count off the top of my head. I've seen you a mixture of veterans and all types of people from various cultures. So,
on an average day, maybe 50.
Do you track that? Do you track that information? I mean, is that a question you ask in some sort of intake or something like that?
Not for the senior brothers, because anyone is free to come. But in terms of discussing benefits, it's a small percentage. I don't have the exact number.
Okay. Thank you.
But we want it to increase.
Sure.
Question. Since I deal with employment, what's the percentage of veterans on your staff?
I don't want to speak for him, but we have a two-team employment team, and they help get employment for people ages 55 and
over. All right. So I think just to keep moving, we're going to move to the next person.
Yeah.
This is great, though, because this is part of what this is important about the board, is to have stakeholders, particularly folks who are delivering service. So we want to thank our special guests for coming by. But the other thing, too, is why it's great to be here in advance, is that members of the public, we should be chatting beforehand, before we actually officially start, so that we can get, I see the nods, the board members, and we're family here. You know, we've got board elected, but we also want ideas that you have for us to ask, to come in. Also, please know that you can share questions with us. We can ask and send it over formally. That's why Tammy's here with MOVA. But just want to move on to the next person, but thanks, Felicia. So with the economic team for...
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sheree Sylvania, and I work on behalf of U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm an economic liaison. My role is to go into the communities and educate employers on why it's so important to invest in our veterans through making a commitment on the Veterans Employment Center, which is found on www.ebenefits.va.gov. Also, part of my job is to assist veterans with educational training through learning hubs. So we're launching our first learning hub informational session November the 9th, and I'll be more than happy to disseminate that information to each and every one of you, which is forthcoming. And we are also looking at accelerated learning programs as well. In order to register for that, it actually closed on August 17th. However, the VA will open it up again. Accelerated learning program is a free training for our veterans to look at cybersecurity jobs, Intel, IT. But it's a great thing that are happening that the Veterans Affairs is actually doing for our veterans. Also, at job fairs, educating veterans, transition service members at installations on why it's so important to invest themselves and make a commitment to upload their resumes on e-benefits, as well as going to educational institutions such as George Washington University, talking to the Vet Success Counselors, ensuring that those universities that are not a part of the 8 Keys of Success, which are the 8 commitments that we want the institutions to voluntarily make a commitment to. What does that mean? That means that they are making a commitment to support our veterans from the time they enter school until they end. And that's just a brief summary as far as my role in the community. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Charisse. Are there any questions from board members? And I would also ask if the board members would, we're still getting to know each other, everybody here, if you would just say your name before you ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Jacques Patterson. Is there a criteria for the veterans or anything to get into the program?
It's not a program, but what I think, can definitely talk offline. I can show you how you can create a profile and obtain access to employees. Are you talking about the certification?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we can definitely talk. Absolutely. And it's free.
Okay.
So one plug is a veteran, and the cybersecurity jobs are no joke. It's serious. There's a really big opportunity. And I struggled through a one-week boot camp 2.5 years ago and got something called a CEH, Certified Ethical Hacker. It's an entry-level point. People can do it, even if you haven't done it before, if you apply yourself. And the chance, the fact that this is being offered, we should spread the word to the community. So I just want to put that point. My name's Harry Wingo. Sorry, it's just, you know, as a point, as a board member, a comment. So, Charisse, thank you very much. And I think at this point, we'll go on to Ms. Dallas Williams to talk about homeless issues, ma'am? Or Dallas, I'm sorry, Dallas Williams. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, excuse me. I was looking at...
Good afternoon, board.
Thanks, Dallas.
Again, I am Dallas Williams. I'm the Deputy Administrator for Homeless Services, DHS. And as it relates to veterans at DHS, we provide permanent housing to chronically homeless, vulnerable veterans. DHS has been in collaboration with the VA since 2009 in housing 205 chronically homeless, vulnerable veterans. At the beginning of FY15, the district provided funding to house 150 chronically homeless veterans who do not meet the criteria for veterans benefits. So those veterans who would have less than honorable discharges or bad papers, as they say, we can house them using our local funding into permanent housing. Come on, brother.
The most critical, matter of fact,
the questions have to be for board members.
Oh, okay, good.
Sydney Locks here, Ward 4. How do we, as board members, recommend someone to your office?
Well, any homeless individual in the district can be assessed at Department of Human Services. We're located at 64 New York Avenue, Northeast. Anyone can walk in from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and get what's called a BIS for that assessment through our coordinated entry. With the coordinated entry, there's a number of providers throughout the city who can conduct this BIS for that assessment. That assessment is placed into a database, the HMIS system, and any housing provider in the city can see anyone who's been assessed and meet the criteria for permanent housing, which means you've been homeless for at least a year or more, or living in a place unsuitable for human habitation. That's the first threshold. The second threshold is you have to have a disabling condition, be it mental health, be it serious medical condition, or substance use history.
Dallas, having worked with you at DHS, would it be better for them to go to the Virginia Williams office as opposed to 64?
Virginia Williams is only for families.
Okay.
Jacques, the only reason I'm asking every board member to say their name,
okay,
it sounds repetitive,
okay,
we're also being recorded.
Okay.
So some people can drop in, they can watch your record, and they'll also know.
So any homeless family can walk into Virginia Williams to get an assessment.
Okay. Thanks, Jacques. Thanks, sir.
Hi, Prince Brooks, Ward 4. Good to see you. I'm glad you're here. As you know, I've been a veterans advocate for years, and I've referred a lot of people to your office, and a lot of them are housed today because of it. Recently, though, there's been a real onslaught of vets with less than honorable. I received information prior to Mr. Alpha Robbie's departure to send people to Robbie's boy. He's been kind of hard to get up with, so I've been referring to Ms. Betty Berkeley. And just this morning, I said, you know, this guy, he's got a lesser knowledge of discharge. I told him to call Brenda, get him started on the discharge upgrade route. And I gave him Mr. Boy and Ms. Berkeley's number. I want to know from you, am I doing that right? Because you know me, you know my number's all over the place, and
right,
people call me cold.
Again, they can go to any office that does the assessment, but you want to send them the record to DHS, they can walk in any day between 9 and 5.
Okay. And ask for?
Just walk in and say they want to do a housing assessment.
Good. All right. Thank you.
And there's always someone there to answer that assessment.
Donald Brooks. Dallas, is still, you still use the CRC, 1500 Franklin, as another point of, doing this product. And the second thing is, I know you may not know the actual number of vouchers you have left, and you really don't want to do that. But
I can only speak to the vouchers that have been awarded to DHS, which is the 205.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's still some available from DHS, right?
No, we have capacity. Okay. For federal vouchers. We have capacity right. For the local vouchers.
I know.
What's the city law? What's the glaring difference between federal vouchers and local vouchers? Is just a pile of money comes from?
The federal vouchers are administered, it's a HUD voucher through the Section 8 program, and it's administered through the DC Housing Authority. The local funding comes straight through the DHS authority. So, and it's funded through, the local dollars, not federal dollars. While we have the flexibility to house those less than honorable folks, because we have it.
Donald Brooks, but they have to be housed in the district where the federal vouchers even go outside the district, am I correct?
Well, federal vouchers, you have to use them the first year in the district, then you can port it anywhere in the United States, absolutely.
But the local dollar ones are
always
non-portable.
Always in D.C., that's
right,
correct.
Non-portable.
Thank you, Mr. Williams, appreciate what you're doing. And next we're going to hear from LaToya from the Department of Corrections. Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Regina Gilmore, Reentry Coordinator for the DC Department of Corrections. I'm going to provide you with a little snapshot of the veterans that we had. As of September the 3rd, we had 68 veterans, which represents about 3.84% of our population. 74% of them had felony offenses. 26% had misdemeanor offenses. The average age in the VRSS is showing 44, but on our self-reports, it's about age 50. And we take information from both places. When I say the D.C. Department of Corrections, I'm talking about D.C. jail as well as the correctional facility next door that partners with us under contract. We have programs primarily at the CCF, but some of the veterans are there and some are at the jail. What we also gathered information about them was that 23% reported that they were homeless at the time of arrest, and 38% reported they were unemployed when arrested. Since coming in, 54% were diagnosed with substance use issues, and 61% were diagnosed with mental health issues. When we look at reentry, primarily we're looking at those misdemeanors that are returning to the community pretty steadily. Since it's felon who's in Federal Bureau of Prisons has designated to serve their sentence within the Department of Corrections, so it'll be short term. Our goal of reentry is to start reentry from day one. So if a person comes in and they go right back out, at the discharge unit, we make sure that they get information package with emergency resources in the community, which includes housing, veterans affairs, many places that they can go to, shelters, and that kind of thing. Otherwise, we work with them while they are in the facility. We do have some staff that have been trained on using the VI for that, which is the way we're talking about. And one of the goals is to make sure that we train the case managers to do that. There are all kinds of programs that that they participate in.
We have she took out some stuff.
We have two residential substance abuse units, one for men and one for women. So they can also do vocational programs and educational programs, as well as GED, as well as commercial training, graphic arts, and barbering, cosmetology, those kinds of programs. Once a week, we have VA comes into the jail, and once a week, we have Veterans on the Rise that comes into the correctional treatment facility. And DCVA reported that between April September of this year, they provided services, case management services, to 77 veterans who have been at the facility. And basically, they did a dissemination of information on benefits, and working with those that have the honorable or less than honorable discharges, the honorable services that they can get, and making sure they get referred. Veterans on the Rise has worked with us this past fiscal year, and they worked with 48 veterans at the CTF. They referred 18 to the Office of Attorney and Citizens Affairs. 4 were placed in a mental health core service agency. 14 were placed in, to green maintenance training. They placed 10 in transitional housing, 2 in substance use treatment, and 4 in employment. So we are making sure that we have the kinds of services that we know that veterans need. We know coming out is a vulnerable time for anybody who's coming out back into the community. But there is some emphasis on
the service. Demetrius Mack, Ward 3. This 3.8% or 68, is that low or is that about typical of what you will see?
It seems to be typical nationally.
Okay.
Donald Brooks, do you think it may be a good idea? I heard you mention Veterans on the Rise, and since most of the way deter the reentry back into the system is employment. And, you know, there's community groups that do HVRP, which focus on employment services, that it might be a good idea to, you know, to make contact with those community partners since they are coming back into the community. And these community people, you know, who run the grants, work with the grants, they focus on employment from, you know, their hard-to-employ population.
We certainly welcome that, too. We do have a program I didn't talk about, and because it had been publicized pretty recently with the mayor, Department of Employment Services, that works with misdemeanors that are coming out. But I certainly welcome other information.
Who's the contact person?
Myself. Thank you.
Seth Conn, Ward 2. How many veterans are female?
We only have one, and she was National Guard.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much. Other special guests?
Ms. Babers?
Director Babers.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear. I'm sorry, Dr. Babers.
Good evening again, Lucinda Babers, DCDMV. I did bring some handouts. I'm just going to put them up here, and if you're interested, you can pick one up before you leave. I'm just sharing a couple of things that DCDMV does. So we recently started putting the veteran designation on the right corner of a person's driver's license. If they've been honorably discharged, and then bring the proof of veteran DD-214, so it's going to be in the lower right-hand corner. We also, what's probably not as well known, is that a veteran who has total and permanent disability, as verified by the Department of Veteran Affairs, they're eligible for one set of tags for no annual registration fee. Okay. And of course, they have to bring verification from the Department of Veteran Affairs that they are total and permanent.
I love it.
Okay, also we have several specialty tags, or we have several tags.
Look at them pretty tags. Go ahead.
So the Office of Veteran Affairs, recently they have a tag that you have to show proof that of honorable discharge, and so it's a $52 one-time fee, and then it's a $26 a year display fee.
Jesus.
To obtain this actual Office of Veteran Affairs tag.
Women who already had it, put your hand up. All right, here we go. Okay.
Disabled American veterans also
have that tag.
So to obtain this tag, you must be a bona fide member of the Disabled American Veteran. You must go and bring us proof that you are a member, and bring that documentation. And there are normal annual registration fees for this tag. If in fact you are a disabled American veteran and you also fill out the application saying you want disability tags, then we have this one, and it just has the symbol that indicates that you can park
in a disabled space. This won't let you park in a disabled space.
Let me see.
Oh, no, it's definitely correct. Yes, it does.
This won't, but this one with the disabled with the symbol.
I've seen that today. I was
like,
okay.
Right.
A question. Prince Brooks, Ward 4. The percentage of disability for a vet to qualify for the disabled tag is what?
Are you talking about the disabled American?
No, the one on your right hand.
Okay, there is no percentage. You must be a member of the disabled American veteran.
I think he's meant to the OVA. I mean, not the...
They're both disabled American veterans.
I'm talking about the OVA.
You mentioned are you talking about this one?
You mentioned that you had to be have a disabled ability, right?
No, not for this. No. This is just for people who are honorably discharged.
Which one was the one that you said you had to have a percentage?
Registration fee.
Registration.
Well, that's the no fee registration, but I didn't say a percentage. I said total and permanent.
Total and permanent.
Because you know you can have 100% total and it not be permanent.
Right.
So it has to be total and permanent.
Chief Delzell, what does the $52 fee and the $26 annual fee go toward?
It's a Veterans Assistance Trust Fund that they created. So one of the things that have been charged with this board is to discuss how would we use that money to support veterans in the community. So that's one of the new charges that's been placed before the board. So you'll get to that. It was a general legislation just written, put the money aside. They have not designated.
I think that's important.
It is.
Publicize the tag. People should know that it's not going to the general DMV funds. It's going to the special office.
Yeah. A lot of them do. When they contact our office, they had to come to our office and we would explain that to them. And so they knew that. So right now we have, I think, like a total of 300. So we only have like 74 left, period. And they started that in 2014.
Right.
You're right.
She has number 300 with
her. Oh, you have number 300 with you.
Yeah.
So wait, yeah.
No, nor is that money included in the OVA office budget.
Right.
Totally
it's
different.
A set aside.
So the
yeah.
trust fund is set aside to do other things. So
right. but
as we advertise that, we need to make sure we don't say that that's going to Ms. Lambert's budget.
Right.
That's going to Veterans Assistance.
Special purpose revenue.
Outside of the special right. purpose revenue.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, and we can add that to our website.
Okay.
Okay, because it's not on there currently. Just
yeah. No, it's not. No,
their fees.
Kim Davis, Ward 8. I recently went to pick up the DAV tag. So my question is, because I almost got sent to a different office downtown. I think they were thinking I wanted maybe that the one with the handicap. But my question is, when you look at the website and the DAV tag, all it says is free. It doesn't give any specific, and it confuses, because even after they corrected
it. It's been updated by me today.
Oh, my God.
Down
there, and it was early in the morning, and so that's good.
Right. No, we have
been
updated.
So it's updated. I'm grateful for those tags. What will it take for us?
Thank you.
Okay, so let me.
See those in other states. So.
Okay, so let me go into that's an organizational tag.
Okay.
So we currently only have one organizational tag specifically for veterans, and that is the Veterans of Foreign Wars of U.S. That's our only organizational tag. What happens with an organizational tag is DMV. We do not create those. Organizations must come to us because they have to get 25 names of their members. Because we have to know before they submit for an organizational tag, they're going to be people who want to actually come and obtain them before we go and we produce them and we make them available.
But I think, Jamal, I'm sorry, just Harry Wingo, Ward 4. I like the people are saying where wards are from. Jamal, I like your question. I think maybe that might not necessarily be even an organization. Maybe you could bring up and share with us next time some examples. If anyone wants to find what happens in other states, because I think if we don't have that, that would be something nice. And I don't know if we need to ask one of the council members to pass some legislation. I can't see anything that would fly through faster than that, right? But that's a great point. Thank you.
Chuck Patterson, Ward 8. And I want to be clear, the DAV tags, they will not allow you to park in handicap. You will get ticketed, or can you clarify that?
Yes.
There was some misunderstanding under the former administration.
Just DAV is a normal tag. You have to have the actual
disability symbol. You can have the DAB tag with the disabled black card hanging. But you know that we have, you can either get a placard or a tag. Well, actually, you can get one placard and one tag. And so if you don't want to use the placard and you only want to use your tag must display the disability symbol, regardless of whether it's a DAB or a normal passenger tag. It has to display the disability symbol.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Seth Kahn, Ward 2. When you were talking about the organizational tags, you said you need 25 members. Is it 25 members who want to get that tag or just 25 members?
Well, it's supposed to be 25 members who want to get the tag. but you know, truthfully, we've had individuals who they've given us a list of 25 and then only one person showed up, the one who submitted the application.
Yeah, and they have to purchase them. So like in Virginia, the legislation can pass, they'll hold it, it'll be held until you're able to produce. Like 100 for Buffalo Soldiers, they don't have theirs. They need 125 people to commit to purchase these tags, and they still can't get them. They've been trying to get that passed for the last 7 years.
Yeah, we don't actually have to have legislation for organizational tags. The only time we have to have legislation is when you want the money to go to a certain place. So the Office of Veteran Affairs, their tag is not organizational. It's a specialty, and it was needed legislation because of the money going to certain areas.
City Locks, Ward 4. Do you have any capability for nonprofits to maybe get a tag and send some funding to the Veterans Assistance Trust Fund as well?
That would be legislation. That would be legislation. If the money is going somewhere other than the general fund, because DMV's tag money does not come to DMV. It goes into the district general fund.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. So the last thing that we offer is we recently started, along with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, a CDL waiver of the skills test. So CDL, commercial driver's license. If an individual in the military has driven commercial vehicles, and when they get out, if they can have their commanding officer, prior commanding officer, sign a form that's on our website indicating they drove a particular commercial vehicle, then they will have the skills part test, which means the road part, waived. They'll have to take the knowledge. Okay, and this is only for class A and B, which is less than 10,000, above 10,000. The only other class is really hazardous. Class C is pretty much hazardous. So we, so far though, only have one person take advantage of that.
What's the time limit? Because I heard it's a time limit.
6 months.
The time limit is what?
Six months from discharge.
From discharge, 6 months from discharge.
Yeah. And is this only for D.C. residents, or is it for somebody that might want to drive in D.C.?
You have to be a D.C. resident. Everything that DMV does, well, related to tags, and we do an awful lot because, you know, we adjudicate tickets. But anyway.
Yeah, so it couldn't be somebody that, like, got a job and wants to drive in D.C.?
No, they have to actually live in D.C. And have a
Victoria Primore, Ward 3. Sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Y'all invested tickets, though.
Y'all invested tickets.
They don't write the tickets.
So next we have Joy White from MyBA. Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and I will try to be as brief as possible. I don't have as exciting information.
And Chris as well, right?
So MyBA is part of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Many of you have heard a lot about the VA on the news, and Secretary McDonald came to us in July of 2014 after 30 years at Procter & Gamble. And his philosophy about the VA is that we are going to turn it upside down. We have been very much inwardly focused on processes that work well for us as federal employees, but the focus has gotten away from the veterans and how we serve them best. So part of that is aligning our organization enterprise-wide. We have 152 medical centers and over 900 community outpatient clinics, vet centers, and a plethora of other facilities where veterans can receive services. But we had 9 different maps. So we all map very, very differently. If you were VBA, if you were VHA, if you were cemetery. So we're all aligned very, very differently. So part of that structure was to align us into 5 districts. So now we have the North Atlantic, the Southeast, Midwest, Pacific, and the Continental. And so Chris and I are here representing the North Atlantic, which DC falls in the North Atlantic. So our job and the purpose of my VA really is to hear from the veteran, the voice of the veteran. So we had a wonderful meeting with Tammy Lambert just a couple weeks ago. She invited us to this forum to hear the voice of the veteran. Some of the things that we're doing is going out. I was in Portland and Atlanta for the past 2 weeks in veterans' homes, meeting them in coffee shops, talking to veterans about how we do this differently. What has your experience been at the VA? What are the pain points? And how do we turn the ship? So part of our design approach is called human-centered design, and it starts with the people that you're serving. So our approach to getting the voice of the veteran and making those changes is starting with the veteran. So we're in the discovery phase. Our territory is actually from North Carolina to Maine, so we're going to be spread about. And so I'm a busy lady traveling a lot, but one of the things that we have done is we have placed a relationship manager and what we call a field consultant in every geography. And so Chris is one of the relationship managers that's going to work very, very closely with the team here in D.C., and we are way excited, very, very excited. So, Chris, I'll let you talk, and I'm
going to
sit
in the middle. No, stay up there for a minute. Stay up there for a minute. Okay.
Okay. So, again, my name is Chris Alucci, and I think over the next couple of weeks, I hope to meet all of you folks as a relationship manager. Kind of a liaison between the VA and the community, federal, state, nonprofits. And the idea is to not only look at, say, the medical centers, the vet centers, how are we treating the patients, the veterans that are going into these locations. So our office is also charged with improving the veteran experience overall. Now, when you go into the medical center, how are they treated? I want to hear about that. If you call the patient advocate office and you're not hearing anything back about whatever issue you encountered, I want to be able to hear about that and work with that facility director and the patient advocate office and say, hey, what's going on? This issue was not resolved. Veteran never heard anything back. What can we do to resolve this issue? So ideally, work within the community, talk about homelessness, access. If there's issues, I want to hear about it. So you guys will be seeing me a lot more. So feel free to ask questions.
I was going to add one thing. The other goal is that we create a system of how we address issues. So if you're in D.C. receiving care and you happen to go visit your niece in Florida, you shouldn't have to start all over with the process. It should be seamless for the veteran access and service. So the purpose of the districts and the district directors is so that we can identify all those pain points across the system and develop some system-wide solutions.
Donald Smoke, Ward 5. One place where you can come in contact with a lot of vets other than the VA hospital is 1500 Franklin, the Vets Referral Center. And one of your major issues that you could start, or whoever has the most authority, to start at slow road note. You know, that's what the vets call it, slow road note. You know, the claims center. Because I, as an employment and outreach specialist, I deal with a lot of vets. That is their number one complaint, so that would help overcome their homelessness and other issues that's, you know, getting their disabilities.
Demetrius back, Ward 3. Quick question for you. What's the difference between your role and the ombudsman?
The ombudsman?
For one of the centers that's around. Usually there's an ombudsman that's there at the hospital or within the office.
So not everyone has an ombudsman, and so that's the issue. You have patient advocates some places, you have ombudsman. There's no consistent person. You can't reach out to an ombudsman at every single medical center. So consistency is part of what we've got to establish, that you know no matter where I go, I'm looking for this person.
Yes. Principals, Ward 4, are you hiring?
actually, we are.
Fantastic question.
I'll actually be official here soon. We are putting some of the positions on the street. I'm a relation manager. We're going to have field consultants that are going to be more embedded with the facilities. And again, our office, let's say we're trying to tackle an issue. We designed an experience to resolve that issue. They'll help the hospital really implement that. So we have those folks, we have operations analysts, we have research design folks. So a lot of positions are actually, some couple just closed, but a couple more will be coming out.
We will be 26 in our
district. Oh, absolutely. We're all field. We are actually trying to separate ourselves from having the BACO, central office phrase, but we are a total field. and going to be in the facilities all the time.
26 per district to give some numbers.
Okay.
Hi, sorry, I'm behind you guys. Victoria Primore, Ward 3. I hear you talking a lot about medical centers, but are you also someone I could talk about VA once?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay, we're focusing on VHA side of the house right now.
Oh, that's an education system for anybody
sure.
that doesn't know.
we're focusing on VHA right now because VBA, they're dealing with the claims backlog. So we saw an opportunity to really help with the medical centers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're targeting there first. But we are an enterprise-wide office. We touch VHA, BVA, NCA, everybody.
So I could talk to you about issues that we're having with, say, like getting work-study contracts back and stuff like that.
We could talk about it. And let me be clear about my role. My role is not necessarily to resolve the issue. It's to bring folks to the table as a relationship manager and say,
mm-hmm.
look, these folks are trying to get an issue resolved. You have not been calling them back. Let's build that relationship.
Okay.
And then the circle back. Because for me,
yes.
it's about closure.
Yeah,
I can connect two people, but if the issue is not closed, that's still an issue.
CEFCON Ward 2. Now, do you guys have meetings or conference calls with other regions, folks who serve in a similar position as yours, to make them aware of the issues that you're having?
So we're starting that. The North Atlantic is the first district to go live. So we are just fielding. We're at 1100 First Street now. So we're just out of the gate from central office. The Southeast is the next district to go. They will be up and running by spring. And then the Midwest should be up and ready to go by summer. So we are, when I tell you, on the cusp of just rolling out, we're just rolling out. But absolutely, all of the field consultants, relationship managers, the directors, the deputies will all be discussing and we have a monthly call. But we're all in D.C. right now. So three of us are in D.C.
So just a little bit more context to that. My responsibility is D.C., Maryland, and all of West Virginia, every single VA facility. So the idea as a relationship manager is to talk with other relationship managers, hey, what issues do you have? How did you resolve it? So maybe we can bring that back and, again, build consistency and resolve issues more at the local level to try and get it resolved faster.
Harry Wingo, Ward 4. Just want to remind we have to move on, but I do have a question. Have you all shared cards? Do you have cards with you that
Absolutely.
You can give out to everybody?
Yeah, I'll leave a stack here. I've started to share
okay.
some.
Okay, so there's going to be a stack.
And I'm writing
and you,
my name and email in the back.
Of those.
On the press.
Okay, so here's the other question that I have. Harry Wingo, Ward 4. You mentioned, Joy, thanks for mentioning 1100 First Street, you said? Okay, are you going to have an open house? And will you send us that information so that we can send it out to everybody and we can know when you have an open house? And we can get that out. Will you invite us?
So we're going to have a MyVA community, and we didn't touch that, but this is part of our vision for the MyVA community. So when Tammy and I met, we started talking about that. Our job is really to connect what I call the sea of goodness in D.C. So everybody who has a vested interest in doing well for veterans is to bring that sea of goodwill together. And let's figure out who's on first, who's on second, who's on third, who has the resources. Because if you're doing homelessness over here, you're doing homelessness over there, can we bring all that together? Because if I'm the veteran, I need one place that I can go and I can see everything homeless related. But instead, we have all these pockets and pop-ups of everybody doing a little bit of something.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Just as a reminder, we have board members that are asking questions. I think we have time for two more. Okay, you're good? Are you good? Okay. So with that, and I know you're a Marine, right? We got Marine Corps represented here today? Okay. All right, thank you very much. Okay, that's all our special guests.
If we could, we don't have to worry about whether we got everybody's business card as they and got their name spelled right or whatever. We sent out a list of all the guests that
Absolutely.
We have today and follow up.
That's a great idea.
Once we find out our committee assignments, then we
right.
suddenly know that we need to talk to them.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Yarn.
All right. Yeah, it's 28 past. It took us that long to start calling out individual services, so we did a quicker last meeting. All right, let's have a round of applause for our special guest. So at this point, we'll go to old business. Bylaws is an important point. At this point, I will let Tammy explain, but just to just frame it, we didn't have bylaws before,
right.
So what we did is share a draft last time. I think we had that put out. So just to have a marker, if there's tweaks or things we have to change, We will do this next time. But, you know, the board members should have a copy of this. And, Tammy, if you want to say a couple things, too.
So prior to this, there was no bylaws. We could not find a bylaw on file anywhere. So what I would like to do, these can be, and I don't want to say preliminary, but these can be the starting steps, right, to developing what our bylaws should be. It's important, though, that we go ahead and vote on bylaws, because we do need positions filled, right, to assist us in being able to support you all, right? And that's part of that's parliamentarian and the secretary. So if you have any, you know, any take issue with any of the things as we go through them, Victoria and I will take note.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is some of you submitted proposed bylaw changes, and I will take fault with that. I'm completely behind on some of my work, so we're running a little behind. So there will be next month a vote for amendment, so I will make another call after this meeting for any more proposed bylaw changes. But as Tammy said, this is really sort of untechnically, I guess, or unofficially a starting point for us, just to sort of get us rolling. So those of you that did submit changes to me, please know that I'm not ignoring you. There was just sort of a hiccup a little bit at the last minute, and I'll do another call. That way you can get fresh eyes on this. And if there's any more, there will be another call for changes.
So in these bylaws, what's required for a vote to pass?
Somebody has to propose that we vote on them as stated. A second.
Is a majority?
Majority roll call.
Okay. No, it's not going to be a draft. This is not going to be a draft. You're going to be able to amend as you go. This will be the starting point.
So just so everybody knows, that's one of the most important points, is there would be a majority to change this, right? So no tricks on that. And what we're going to do is, I know one of the amendments that I have an idea for, but we'll come back to it next time, is a sergeant at arms. I know that it dropped off from maybe some of the first things we talked about. If we're all comfortable with that, not because I would like to see that go back in. We don't have to write it in right now. So that's an example of an amendment that if we had a majority agreement, we could move forward with. We absolutely have to have a parliamentarian secretary. But at this point, would someone, unless there's something else to ask or questions, someone wants to make a motion to approve these bylaws. I don't. Does anybody want to go?
Approval is still subject to amendment, though, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And just...
Okay, so we have a motion. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we did go, as Tammy mentioned,
we did go
through these last month. There's no major changes to this. One thing was taken out, and there's some few updates on just wordage error. But other than that, there was no major changes from last. The Sergeant at Arms came out, which you mentioned.
That was a substantive
But that's
change.
The only substantive change. So just to put anybody's mind at ease that is worried about the substantive changes, there was nothing added. So
do we have a motion? Okay. And anyone second the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and properly seconded. All those who are in favor of approving these bylaws, make it known by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Sir, you oppose?
Okay. And Mr. Brooks, let me explain to you, these are the standard bylaws that all the other commissions and boards use as well. This is the template that everybody uses. We can subject to amendment, we can add certain things that you think that are pertinent to this particular board. However, this is the one that everybody's using through VOTA.
I definitely understand the statement, but until all amendments that be made at the time, I can't vote on something that may be changed or that is in the process of maybe added or deducted from it.
All right, so actually, let me address this point right now. Actually, if you want to say something, Sydney.
First of all, the motion has been passed.
Yes.
Secondly, after the motion is passed, we've already in the bylaws speak about how do we get amendments through. Mm-hmm. So because we have a living document, we also say that this document is living. It is such that as you get a majority vote, changes can be made. And I believe that's what Ms. Pridemore was referring to, as in this is... And Director Lambert was referring to this as a document that is living and mm-hmm. such that it
and it always will be.
Like the Constitution.
So I think we're saying the same thing. So what I want to say, Mr. Brooks, is Sydney said it well, mm-hmm. and maybe that's my fault. Let me clarify again. I did that step And let me explain one more time. When I mentioned the sergeant at arms, what I was really trying to do is say, look, this is not a halfway document. This is not a draft document. This is a document that we decided to vote on just now, right? And so now it is living, it is official. And so you had the one opposed, but hopefully, I mean, you know, can't take that back. Hopefully we address what you just said. So this is not draft. It's not something that's a moving target. And I mentioned about the sergeant at arms. That was the only change that it came back from, you know, things we discussed last time. So it's official. This is official. So I hope that's a good clarification.
Yeah, it cleared up a little bit because of the way the communication came, like, there was still some changes coming forth.
I realized that just now. So, yeah.
No,
I apologize for that. Yeah,
okay.
So
that's partly my fault as well.
It's okay. But, yeah, so it is actually official. And Sydney's very efficient with this, so this is a good segue because Sydney's got experience with being a parliamentarian. And we, you know, we'll come back to the secretary point, but I would like to say, I'm sorry.
I think we need to, like, say what we're doing.
Oh, right. So elections of positions, which we have in this bylaw, so for parliamentarian or for secretary, I think we should get some more, we have nominations. If someone would like to nominate somebody for these two positions. And actually, yeah. I'll let you at this point explain.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, do you want to just read, or I can
read? If you want to.
So we're going to be voting on the two positions that are in the bylaws that we just passed are parliamentarian and secretary. So the first one, they're kind of backwards in your bylaws, but if you look at section 106 in the bylaws, is parliamentarian, and that's the first one listed on the agenda. And I will... and I will list these. Be an expert in Robert's Rules of Order and Procedures. Advise the chair on Robert's Rules. I'm not going to do verbatim, so I don't want to insult your guys' intelligence. Ensure good order and discipline. Enforce rulings, similar to what just sort of happened. Remove members if necessary. Be responsible for attendance and roll call. And then if we have to do roll call votes, for example, if we can't tell the difference between ayes and noes, that's the parliamentarian's duty as well. No? Cindy's shaking his head. That's the way I understood it.
Well, so now, the motion we just passed, unless we changed it, I thought we did majority vote by roll call on each vote. And this, again, that's subject to change by amendment. That's what we did.
You just said majority, but you would do the will call for the roll call, so you would call the roll.
For each vote that we had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same thing.
She said if it was by, if we can't tell by.
I misspoke, but we
it says it here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want your word to come out and then somebody read something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go by what's here.
Yeah.
Plus, we're also being recorded. So just to clarify for the record, it's what stands is what's written down on the document that we voted for.
So roll call vote, and so the parliamentarian would do the roll call.
So also, just a note, it's 7:38, so we're coming up on having 20 minutes out, and we're not going to, at this point, I want people to think about secretary for next time, to think about nominations, if anyone wants to volunteer, if you know someone, you know, someone on the board wants to do that from the board, give it some thought. But I think we have a nomination. I would like to go to parliamentarian. I've already addressed it. So I'll be quiet, but is there anyone who wants to nominate somebody for parliamentarian?
I nominate Cindy Locke.
Okay, with anybody? So all those, so Cindy Locke, you've been nominated. Are you willing to serve?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You have to ask again.
I'm sorry?
You have to ask for nominations again.
Four.
Just to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Are there any other nominations? Okay. What? Yeah.
You're inside the motion then.
Any other nominations, though?
Point of order. Is it normal that a person is supposed to state their qualifications or?
What we'll do is we nominate.
Okay.
You nominate and we go through the nomination procedure, and then you can ask questions. The people that are nominated can state their qualifications and stuff. So, but they have to be nominated first.
Okay.
Be willing to serve. Then once nominations close, we will right? I think I know. Yes.
So actually, that's what we're going to do. Chair's point of order here. We are going to take, if there are any, are there no other nominations? Okay, so at this point, Mr. Locks, if you could honor fellow board members' requests, and I would like actually also that to ask, respectively, if you would voice, you know, please state your qualifications for this.
Yes, sir. First of all, good evening. My name is Sidney Locks, as already stated. My qualifications are such, I've served as parliamentarians in several different committees. I'm also a part of the D.C. Parliamentarians Association. All right. Served as an assistant parliamentarian in 3 churches in my time. That is the end of my qualification.
Sidney, what about the classes you've taken?
The classes I've taken? I took classes with the D.C. Parliamentary Association to be a square with them. I've also taken some parliamentary law procedures. And I'm about to embark on a parliamentarian class at GW with the head of the Law Association.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
All right.
That's all my free time.
All right.
Say whatever, boys.
Okay, at this point, then, I'll have if there's any motion to approve, send it. We need a motion.
We need a motion.
A motion. I'll second it.
I make a motion that we appoint
approve his nomination
as a man to keep the rules.
See, one vote.
And I second it.
Second. Okay, it's approved and properly seconded. All those who are in favor of placing Sidney into the role of parliamentarian, let it be known by aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Congratulations, sir. Thank you for volunteering. All right, so we'll come back, give thoughts. Secretaries will address that at our next meeting. At this point, I know it says we'll have to come back to strategic plan. Let me underscore this. We need everybody to be engaged. So we did not see the participation that we wanted to by the email threads. I know we're just getting together as a team. So we'll come back to that. I apologize. I haven't had a chance to, whether it's get in front of you personally, talk to you on the phone. We need that activity. Please do that amongst yourselves as well as the board. And look for folks to actually sounding boards. And I also, you remember last time I said, this has to be a team sport beyond the board. I haven't seen some people here last time come out again. They might have been curious, but we're here for the long haul. So please remember, spread the word. We'll have people come in here, make sure that we have more folks in the community coming out. So we're going to come back to strategic plan, more activity, talk about it before we hit next meeting. And at this point, I think we're just going to go to MOBA update.
Question.
Has everybody taken the ethics training?
Yes.
I still
think
that's right.
We have one we're
working
with.
No.
Okay.
What is the next class?
Here, Washington, D.C. ethics. Are there ethics?
Thank you. Yeah, you're in my class when I say you.
No.
Tell people when the next class
okay.
is.
Okay, you're messing my
So you got the names of everybody. Hey, Brendan, can you give the names of everybody? All of
them
have not
taken
it.
Oh, you haven't taken it?
I need
mine. Okay. I have to go to the class, actually.
Ms. Hall, you getting all the names who have not taken it?
Yes.
Ms. Hall, you'll be able to email class date and time, right?
Yes, we will.
Okay, thank you.
Can
we go back just for a second to the
plan?
I guess my just details help, or six. My concern is that with this long list of different areas, since we don't all know each other very well yet, it's trying to get, how do we efficiently allocate out those areas as we learn what each other's strengths are? And so, for example, I don't want to volunteer to chair the entrepreneurship piece, finding out that SAFE actually has more experience than I would dream of in that particular area. And I wonder if over the next month, if we can come up with a way where we might informally share with you and the vice our areas of interest or expertise
right.
And somehow break the logjam to help come up with a slate of potential assignments and yielding to your knowledge of the positions and
right.
who shared our experience.
I'm going to let Tammy say something. That's a great question. Yeah. I think one way to do it is, we can't do anything by email, but we can get it started with asking people to just have an email thread where you volunteer just what you just said.
Okay.
Because it'll take a life of its own. I think we absolutely need a conference call, probably, some conference call once that's happened, and also give it some thought what you want to sign up for. And I think in that conference call, we'll have to find time because we need to fill in a lot more between the meetings. That's clear. This is our second meeting, but that's great. I'm glad you asked that. So I think between that those two things, and at some point, too, we'll get into a rhythm of getting together and finding times to, you know, connect with each other and find some informal place to meet at breakfast or break bread or something, too. But I think really to start, email thread, because that doesn't depend on what time. You can do that at, you know, 1 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever.
As long as we're not taking a vote on this, we're just sharing information.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't need to.
Well, oh, that's a good question.
But you need to we need to formulate the strategic plan. So the strategic plan that they have on file now is the one back in 2000, I think, one that Joe Wynn was part of. So in looking at the one that we submitted at the last board meeting, kind of going through that, kind of, going through it and just identifying, you know, are these areas of interest that we can talk about, or if there's, you think they can expand it or whatever. So the list that we got, we just added onto the list that Eric had mentioned, a couple of categories that we need to add to that. But we need to come up with a strategic plan has to come up with a strategic plan.
Especially just made me think of something, Tammy. Mm-hmm. And this is something where I'll have to talk to each of you. You have my number, you have my cell phone. So I would propose what I think we would do and it'll work well is I'll use Google Docs and don't get worried if you haven't used it before. I will talk you through it. I know, you know, the city, different people use it, but Sydney, you've got something you're thinking about.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you brought that up. We should all as a board be moving to dcbc.dc.gov.
Okay.
The only thing that you're gonna look at there if you're using Google Docs is you could potentially be doing city business on Google.
Which I think has happened in some other...
It may be, but we have to be really careful with that because we could be doing PII, personal identifying information, all that type of stuff.
Which we would...
Do that with Tracy, because the city business, we do a lot through Google Docs.
With Google Docs.
So,
that's a good point, though.
We do.
We'll talk about that.
Here's the real segue. I got the email last Saturday to go to the dcbc.dc.gov. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives us a same platform.
Oh, we'll have to look at it. That's
good. Plus the Google Docs as well.
Right. So what we'll do is Sydney and I will talk about that. We'll figure out whatever platform, whether it's that platform, I'm having a hard time saying it, or Google Docs, which I know Sydney uses for other things. But we'll come back to it. But excellent question, Steve.
But one more statement about
this. Yes, sir.
We might be able to do it the old-fashioned way. We have a list of all the board members.
Right.
And write what their agencies are.
That's the phone call I was talking about, and in person, too.
That way, so when we form the committees, we can start using the expertise, the connections that each board member had for the, you know, committees, and get something done, you know, because he made a good point that, you know, you don't want to put A in charge and he don't know A about it.
Absolutely agree with you. Yeah, so that's the phone part, that's the in-person part. Ain't no substitute for that. So.
Okay, and so let me just throw this out real quick. So, and speaking with Moda, we asked about the emails, and I apologize, they have not come out. Everybody has not taken ethics training either. So part of that is you have to take the ethics training, right? You have to pass like all the little check marks, right, whatever. So I need people to take the ethics training, get their name turned in, so then when the next roll of email addresses come out, my board can be a part of those email addresses because they're doing them in phases, right? And so everybody who has not taken ethics, it's on a list, right?
Right. So what we need is it'd be helpful if we know what the date is and the time for it. Yeah,
we'll get that to everybody. So, and I know that's a concern. So you could, at that point, then y'all be able to do business, through secure communications or whatever. But the second thing is, so understand the strategic plan is part of forming a committee, but it's also identifying what you're going to do and what you think your concern should, it's more about you creating your platform and how you're going to support the mayor, right? In her vision to support veterans, right? So part of the strategic plan that they had outlined back in before in 2001, they talked about, so legislation is very important to them. So they wanted to, do what they had to do to find, to identify legislation that was needed. Look at resources. How to identify the demographics within the D.C. area? What is defined as a veteran? What is not defined? So they were real specific in that. So it would be great if y'all could do like a conference call or, maybe set up an off-site meeting so you can talk about what will be of concern to each of you, and then you can kind of compile your information that way, and then you can vote on the committees later, right?
I'm sorry, for the sake of time, we are at 10 minutes out. Okay. So what we have to do at this point is we'll come back to the strategic plan. We have 5 minutes for, actually, I think we have 2 minutes if you don't. For your staff, and then we don't want to miss the chance to have people speak, for the public part. So, at this point, let's shift over. Yeah. Tammy, if you would mind, you've got an introduction to make.
So yeah, so number one, I want each of you all to at least try to contact me and set up a date. You can just come to the office and kind of meet with us, staff, so you can have an understanding of what we do day in and day out. Number two, we recently, MODA hired our deputy director, which is Mrs. Wanda Battle. Can you stand up and introduce yourself, Ms. Battle?
Hello. I'm the assigned deputy director for the Office of Veterans Affairs. I look forward to working with each and every one of you. And if it's anything that I can do to assist you, please call me.
Are you a veteran?
I'm an honorably discharged Army veteran.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's veteran enough for you.
Okay. All right. So a couple Thanks, things ma'am. I wanted to let y'all know. We have a couple of things that are going on that's very important to the mayor, and one of it is called the In Homelessness Pledge. Did you bring them down here?
Yes, we have.
Okay,
right,
so I need to charge each of you all to support us in getting as many signatures as we can in support of the mayor ending homelessness in 2015. Veterans, and she will do that. She's on target to end homelessness for veterans in 2015, right? So if I can get you all to get as many people to sign this pledge and support and to give it back to us, y'all will help us tremendously, because we want everybody engaged and everybody to understand what the mayor's doing.
You
feel
can send
to
the PDF out.
Yeah,
right,
actually, it's online.
Okay. We can also get you links online so you can print it out. And if you want to, spread it that way too.
I need each of y'all to leave a signed copy before you go.
Yeah. Pass them all around. I'm a fan of contracts, and that's not
going to take.
That's right.
If you fill those out, you can hand them to me. You're working in forms.
In the home.
So, and there's another thing that's really important to the mayor that, that's really important to the mayor is we are forming neighborhood action teams, right? So the mayor wants to get everybody engaged, right? And of course, we want veterans engaged as well. We want them to participate in the things that are going on in the community. So today they had a meeting to talk about volunteers to support us when there's a snow drive, volunteers when there's a flooding incident. We're just looking for veterans who are willing to participate and support DC Serve in their initiative to really make sure that it's safe. DC is safe for our elderly, DC is safe for those that are disadvantaged, being able to provide resources to them. And it's more physical than anything, but we need some volunteers. In addition to that, they have a new thing called 500 for 500. They're trying to empower males of color, and they're looking for men who were willing to volunteer and mentor a child.
Oh, okay.
So I will have Sydney, pass them out, and I want y'all to consider this.
I just got to ask a favor. Could we just put that on a stack right here?
Okay.
We've got 8 minutes to go.
Okay.
We have room for three comments from the public. I think, Michael, thank you, sir. You've been standing. If we could start with Michael, and then we're going to end on time. All right? Sir, thank you, Tim.
Report to the Secretary on behalf of the 58,000 soldiers who died in the Vietnam War, 8,000 soldiers who lost life in Iraq and Afghanistan. Veterans in the hospital, veterans who are dying, veterans who are suffering, veterans who have pain, and most important, the Veterans Health Administration, the Undersecretary for Health, the very best director, the best medical center. It's very, very sad. I'll just use Mr. George B. Over said, fraud, waste, abuse, and mismanagement. And I'm very concerned, after being here now for over 24 years, to connect with the veterans in this city who feel left out. And as I said the last meeting, something must be done to deal with the corruption in this building, City Council, Congress, and 18 Vermont Avenue. And very, very sad. I mean, when I think about the Veterans Health Administration, the Undersecretary for Health, the very best director, the best medical center, if I have my way, Brian Hawkins, the director of the VA Medical Center, will be removed.
Hello.
If I have my way.
Thank you, sir.
And pray for our soldiers in Afghanistan and around the world.
Yes, sir.
And I just real quick, everybody here, talk about the government, the House Rules Committee, the Senate Rules Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. So help me God. Everybody run.
Thank you, Michael. Oh, yes, sir. If you would share your name.
Police headquarters, the Attorney General's office, the U.S. Attorney's office, the Washington
Building,
the
FBI,
too much smoking, too much drinking, people using drugs, out of shape, overweight, won't run for nothing. I want to read your report on law. Everybody in here, so help us God.
Thank you, Mr. Terrell. Thank you for service.
The most chronic of the chronic, housing. Who can tell me right now where they can go to get assistance? Right now.
Talk to me.
Those who cannot, Franklin Street will not deal with.
Amen.
Those who are really creating issues on the problem. Who's addressing it? I'm late coming in now because I was just dealing with some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. If it is, I don't know where. Maybe you can help.
Yeah. I'm going to give you my card.
I mean, sure. Right now. Tell us right now. Someone else.
Amen.
Right now. Someone
thank you.
I can't go.
Yes,
well, I, you know.
I
Well, if you're trying to get.
Well, let me, this is what the these
you asked me a question.
Who, I'm sorry. I was referring
to it.
Thanks, Mr. Terrell.
Even though this is, I'm going to speak general, so I won't get personal. Now, if you're homeless at this time, and you're trying to get into a transitional shelter, I mean a housing, you know, I can direct you to where and how you go about doing it. And then you go from transitional, take this VDOT, if you qualify for a voucher, we get you in a voucher, you know, permanent supportive housing, if not. So I'm giving you my card. You can.
No, for time purposes, I got that. Thank you. You're very good. Thank you for that. But all I'm saying, though, I try to be specific. The most chronic of the chronic, those who cannot deal with us, who cannot be in shelters. You can't have these in shelters, people who've been flagged.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point. Amen. Those who've been flagged, shelters won't take them.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Street won't take them. Even
if they've been flagged, and I'm on the city homeless board. That DC have a right to shelter, so they will be placed in a shelter, whether they've been flagged or whatever.
Is it wise to do that?
Well, it's not wise to put certain people all in
that's
prison, but
that's
they're
not true.
They're there.
I think that is what they use for a second time.
All right.
That's not true,
thank
sir.
You. yes, ma'am. If you'd say your name.
In regards to what he just said, that is not true what this gentleman just said. We had a note for female veterans. Let me talk about female veterans. I had an incident at the VA hospital. There are no beds in the District of Columbia for female veterans as of last Tuesday, okay? None, okay? And when you go into a shelter, you have to have a chest x-ray. If you're a veteran, you have to have this. So if you're homeless after 5 o'clock, you're screwed in the District of Columbia. I don't know about what your program do, sir, but I'm speaking from experience and reality. Now, you all have all these different programs. Well, we're doing this, we're doing that. But when you come to request for that services, number one, you don't qualify. And
I'll get you in a place.
Okay, you're another employee. But you tell her we don't qualify. And for female veterans, at this time, we have no beds available. But I did find out about Chesapeake House. But the VA hospital will not contact them. They can get any. They got.
They don't do that.
Excuse me. They have beds over there waiting for bodies, or even on an emergency basis. I just talked to a young lady that works there. I don't want her to lose her job. That's why I'm not going to produce her name.
Thank you, ma'am.
She said we have beds. Because the main protocol is to go to Franklin Street. You homeless tonight. And this might be cold tonight. If you are a female veteran, you are short in the District of Columbia. Now, you can say you don't have any boards you want to be on, sir.
Call me.
I'm going to call you, and that's just, okay.
I'll get you in a place.
And also, your emails, you all have emails. They're not working, okay? I called you. I try to email you. I try to email this gentleman. Your emails are rejecting our emails. So I don't know what we're supposed to do in that instance. And this little form you got around, because everything been in here tonight for the board. So this little form you talking about here, is that for people outside the board?
Peace be with you.
Because you never opened your mouth to say that. Everything in here is related to people in the board. They're the only one that can communicate. So are they the only ones getting these signatures?
No, you can have
are
one.
Are they the only? I don't want one.
You can have one, actually, but this is a board meeting. So it's an open meeting. You can participate and attend the meeting. And you can
have
a public comment.
Because see, I didn't know that was for me. I am a CERT member of the District of Columbia.
Ms. Weiss, thank you very much, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
And so at this point,
we are.
No,
sure
you no.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. Yeah. So at this point, we're 1 minute out. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Thank you for being here. Let's get active outside of the, you know, in advance of the next board meeting. We have everything set for us, so give me 30 seconds back of your time. Okay, God bless you. Thank you for what you do.